Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I'd like for you to reflect on St. Paul's words in the appointed epistle lesson, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, just a couple of verses. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is our text. Why does Paul use the image of leaven? And why are we supposed to get rid of it? And what does this have to do with the risen Christ? It's important to remember that Jesus was crucified and raised during Passover week, which has massive implications for how we understand his atoning work. But Paul is drawing on another theme that is central to the Passover narrative. In the Old Testament, it was prescribed that the Passover be observed over the course of an entire week in a feast called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This feast is synonymous with Passover in some respects and was meant to be a yearly observance as a memorial for what God had done for them. On the first day, the people were to diligently remove all leaven, any kind of yeast or baking powder that would cause bread dough to rise. It was a tedious process that communicated an important truth in a powerful way. Their old life in Egypt was gone. The new had come. The Passover lamb was sacrificed. God had delivered them. So they were to remove all leaven on the first day during the feast, but they would only eat unleavened bread throughout the duration of the Passover observance. And here's how seriously they took it. Anyone who failed to participate in the removing and abstaining from leaven was cut off from Israel, excommunicated. And this wasn't their idea. This was God's. This is what he said to do in Exodus chapter 12. Why such a harsh penalty? Well, there are several reasons. But first among them being that God wanted to make it unthinkable for a person to entertain their former way of life under Pharaoh. He wanted them to understand that they belong to him now. He had defeated their enemies. He had brought them through the waters of the Red Sea. Theirs was the newness of life under God's gracious rule and reign. Why would they want to go back to Egypt where there was only malicious intent for the people, where there was only evil? Fast forward to the early days of the New Testament church, and Paul is writing to the Corinthian congregation to straighten out their problems, and there were lots of them. The situation that we find here in chapter 5 is disturbing, to say the least. You see, the Corinthian congregation thought that they had a firm grasp on the grace of God. They knew what it meant that Jesus had died and risen and that sins were forgiven. It meant for them that they were free to do whatever they wanted and that God wasn't going to have anything to say about it, because that's how the grace of God works. We like to sin. God likes to forgive. It's a pretty good arrangement. They were boasting, bragging, as if they knew what the grace of God was all about. They were permitting something in their congregation that is too scandalous to name. Something that Paul said not even the pagans would do. There was a man who was getting a little bit too close to his mother-in-law. We'll just have to leave it at that. Paul must have been blushing when he wrote these words. And the people in Corinth had certainly forgotten how to blush. No, this wouldn't do. They were instructed that such a man needed to be removed from their midst. In the same way that the leaven was removed during the Passover. In the same way that Israelites were removed if they refused to cleanse out that old leaven. And why would Paul suggest such drastic measures? Isn't the church supposed to welcome sinners? Sure is. Always has. That's why you and I even come together on Easter Sunday, that we are sinners in need of this Passover lamb that God has provided. But the church is always, always in the business of cleansing out the old leaven. And that means whatever is in us that is from the old life in Egypt, the old life of sin and death, that is what we are to be putting off and away from us. And if someone refuses to do that, if someone insists on returning to Egypt, then we must let them go. And the hope is that once they are back in Egypt, once they return to their old life of death, they will realize how good they had it in God's house and want to come back. And in that case, we say, welcome back. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If we tolerate a little sexual sin here, a little idolatry there, a little drunkenness, a little reviling, a little swindling, that stuff grows like a cancer. And it doesn't just affect one person, it affects the entire body of Christ. But is that who you are? Is that who the Corinthians were? Paul said, cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. In other words, this is why you put away those gross sins. This is why through daily contrition and repentance, you put to death these things because they're left in Egypt where they belong. God has defeated them. He has spared you, and he has offered up his own son in your place so that he would become the Passover lamb for you. He has released you from the bondage of Satan. He has made you free. The Corinthians had it wrong. They misunderstood the implications of being purchased from their former sins. They should have celebrated the risen Savior, but instead they celebrated sin. It's the very same logic that St. Paul rebukes in Romans 6. Shall we sin all the more so that grace may abound? In other words, should we just keep sinning and doing whatever we want so that God can forgive us all the more? Paul's answer, may it never be. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? There was our Red Sea moment. That was where God brought us out of Egypt through those waters. That is where he drowned our old enemy, the old Adam. And we were buried, therefore, with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Jesus' resurrection is not license for us to go on sinning. It's license for us to live. And so we do. We live. You live. Christ has been raised, and you with him. The old has gone, the new has come. That leaven, which once made you a child of wrath, once made you a hater of God and his mortal enemy, has now been purged away. He has brought you into a new community, the new Israel, the holy Christian church in which there is continual and uninterrupted forgiveness. And you go on living from that forgiveness because you now have license to live. You do not celebrate your sins and boast in them as the Corinthians were doing. Rather, you celebrate something else. You celebrate the festival in sincerity and truth. you keep the feast of the Passover, no longer confined to just a week out of the year, but every day, because every day is Easter. Every day we know that Christ has been raised, death has been defeated, and our sins, which held us captive, now no longer weigh us down. And you have the Lord's body and blood, which testify before God in heaven that you yourselves are unleavened. You have a Passover lamb whose blood avails for you for eternity, and indeed every single day. Jesus Christ took your leaven upon himself and was crushed for it, ground to dust under the weight of God's wrath. He carried your sins all the way to the tomb where he lie in wait until he would rise 3 days later, giving you the right to celebrate new life, giving you the license to live. So don't go back in that tomb and bring out that leaven. That's where it needs to stay. Don't insist on wearing the grave clothes. Don't insist on wearing the stuff of Egypt. That's not who you are anymore. You, through Christ, are made new. Christ has been raised. Death no longer has dominion over him. Every day is now Easter, brothers and sisters. So let us keep the feast in sincerity and truth. And the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Go with God's peace.